BHH Productions presents KB Cabaret, an original variety show, with your host, Bree Harvey.
Hi, folks, and welcome to KB Cabaret. My name is Bree Harvey, head writer and producer of this show. KB Cabaret is a calabaloo of original skits, songs, poetry, and short stories. What's calabaloo, you ask? Magic. From a child's creative imagination. I was 5 when I coined that word, and it's been around my family ever since. The settings originate from my hometown, Parlor City. And the stories originate from people.
Names, characters, places, and incidents either are products of the author's imagination or are used fictitiously. Any resemblance to actual events or locales or persons, living or dead, is entirely coincidental.
Thank you, Bonnie. That, folks, was obviously my lawyer. Starring my friends, the Parlor City Players. Judy McMahon, Bonnie DeForest, Charles Berman, John Carey, John Montgomery, myself, Bree Harvey.
Welcome to our town. Welcome to Parlor City, where our friends come out to play. When neighbors don't leave, they stay and chat a while. Welcome to our town, to KB Cabaret.
This week on KB Cabaret, we are happy to present an interview with Aaron Jonah Lewis, as well as a selection of his music.
Welcome to our town, to KB Cabaret.
Mornings are a special time for me. My rituals are simple. A good cup of coffee, soft classical music, and a little daily feature in our local newspaper called Advice with Granny Ada. Dear Granny Ada, for 2 years now, my cousin Sheila and Beatrice have taken it upon themselves to control the family gift-giving. They said we spend too much money on presents, always trying to outdo each other. Well, 3 years ago, for example, Uncle Arnie went a little crazy and bought one of his nephews a Harley. We agreed that no matter what, $50 was the limit. Well, I thought putting boundaries on gift-giving was crazy, but I went along with it. However, yesterday was the last straw. It was my daughter's 12th birthday, and she received some very shoddy gifts. Aside from some cheap paperback books, she got a doll that wasn't even a brand name, and a few blouses that looked like they came from a discount store, and a coloring book with a box of 20 crayons. Really? My kid deserves more than that. I almost made a scene. But I didn't want to embarrass my daughter. She pretended she was thrilled, but I could tell she was disappointed. Granny Ada, I feel like calling a family conference and tell them they're all cheap so-and-sos. Should I? I am at my wit's end trying to figure out why they couldn't even spring for a box of 100 Crayolas. Is that too much to ask? Signed, a dollar short and a day late.
Dear Short, how delightful. Crayons and paperbacks indeed. How petty. After all, is it too much to ask for a hardback first edition? You should actually write the ultimate guide for gift-giving, titling it Greater Expectations with a subtext of entitlement. By all means, have a family conference. Let them know how you feel. After all, you deserve better. In fact, why don't you create a gift registry at your favorite department store, spa, or travel agency? Heck, go for all three. Of course, make sure your daughter is there so that she can learn to be as self-serving and as righteous as her mother. After all, you are the epitome of good parenting behavior. I hope this was the answer you expected, because the real answer is to grow up, dear. A gift should come from the heart and not with a price tag. You should teach your daughter to cherish even the smallest of presents. Sometimes a poem or donating to a charity means more than a boatload of meaningless offerings. Thank you for writing, honey, and have a good day. Granny Ada.
Hello,
tree.
What?
Shh! Be quiet! Grab Butch and get over here.
Come on, Butch. Carl needs us. What do you want, Carl?
What do you mean, what do I want? We're here to break into this house. That's what I want. Now listen, the lights went off about an hour ago, so they should be sound asleep by now. After I jimmy the window open, Dimitri, you crawl in and then open the front door to let Butch and I in. Butch, as soon as Dimitri lets you in, I want you to stand at the bottom of the stairs and make sure no one wakes up and comes down to see what's going on. And then I want to...
Where are the stairs?
How do I know? They have to be somewhere on the first floor. Just find them and stand at the bottom.
You want me to follow Butch and wait at the bottom of the stairs with him?
No. I want you to take this pork chop and give it to the dog. If they have one. Then I want you to go...
Is it a big dog or a little dog?
How do I know? There might not even be a dog. Besides, what difference does it make?
Well, I didn't eat any dinner tonight and I'm hungry. So I'm thinking, if it's a little dog, I can eat some of the pork chop and there'd still be enough left for the dog. You know, because if he's little, he probably doesn't eat that much anyways.
Okay, smarty pants. And what if it is a big dog? You won't have enough pork chop to keep him calm and then he'll bite you. You want to get bitten by a dog that might not be there just because he didn't have enough sense to eat dinner tonight?
No, that would hurt, I think.
Don't think. Just do what I tell you. Dimitri, what are you doing?
I only took a small bite. Don't worry, Carl. I'll save some.
Well, you're the one who's going to get bit. But I guess that's better than your stomach growling and waking everyone up.
Hey, you want a bite?
No. Save it for the dog, if there is one.
Huh. I never would have thought about bringing a pork chop to a burglary to distract a dog that might not even be there. Man, you think of everything.
Well, sometimes you just gotta know these things. By the way, where's Butch?
I don't know. He was here a minute ago. Hey, there he is, looking out the window. Hey, Butch, open the window so we can get in.
Butch, what the heck are you doing?
Give me your hand and I'll help lift you through the window.
You're an idiot.
What? You want me to help Dimitri through first?
No! I want you to close the window and wait for us to come through the door.
But I thought you said you were coming through the window.
Just close the window. We'll be right in.
Oh, that guy never listens.
Shut up! You're an idiot, too.
Sure you don't want some of this pork chop? It's delicious.
I don't believe this.
Well, I'll take that as a no. You don't know what you're missing.
Oh, trust me. I know exactly what I'm missing. Come on, we got work to do. Okay. First we're gonna... Where the heck is Butch? Why does he keep disappearing like that? Butch, where are you?
In the kitchen.
What are you doing in the kitchen?
I'm going to pet the dog.
I told you to wait at the bottom of the stairs just in case. Dog?
Yeah, he's so cute. I think he's a Rottweiler.
Butch? Get in here now!
Oh, he doesn't sound very happy.
Neither do I. Dimitri, maybe now would be a good time to give the dog the pork chop.
I can't.
Sure you can. Just toss it on the floor in front of him.
No, I mean I can't.
Dimitri, just toss the damn pork chop.
It's gone. I ate it.
All right, who's down there?
Way to go, Butch.
What did I do?
If you went to the bottom of the stairs like I told you, we wouldn't be in this mess.
I've called the police, and they're on the way.
Carl, what do we do now?
And I have a gun.
Run!
Yikes!
Get out of my way!
Ouch! Oh. Dog just bit
Yikes.
Me!
Anything you say,
excuse me, sir?
Dimitri, no!
Don't worry, Carl. I'm not going to say anything about us planning to rob this place or any of the others. I just want to know if they're serving breakfast in the morning. I'm hungry.
Shut up, Dimitri, and put your hands up before you get shot.
Oh, I hope they have pancakes.
I'm here in studio with Aaron Jonah Lewis. Our interview is via phone because he's driving from one gig to the other in the rain, eating a pretzel, from what I understand.
He is the founder of Corn Potato String Band. He is a songwriter, singer. He has several other bands along with this. Predominantly, from most of the bands that you have, you would consider yourself American folk country?
Yeah, I'm a fiddle player and a banjo player, and I follow fiddle and banjo music wherever it may take me.
Well, you follow your heart and the road.
Follow my heart, follow the road, follow my ears, follow my nose. Sometimes I get pulled in more than one direction.
I mean, when did you start writing music?
I started playing music when I was really young. I got fascinated by a full-size viola that my grandfather brought as a gift when I was 3 years old.
Mm.
I was much too small to play it, but I couldn't stop touching it and looking at it and saying, I want to play it, I want to play it. As my parents say, when I was old enough to stand still, I got started on violin lessons and kept playing violin with the Suzuki method from the time I was about 5 until the end of high school. And I taught myself guitar when I was about 11 or 12. I just wanted to play Beatles songs. And then, you know, after high school, I kind of got into bluegrass. And from there, I got into all kinds of other things, old-time music, jazz band music, early jazz, klezmer music, getting into experimental and improvisational music, other kinds of folk music from all over the world, traveling a lot, playing shows a lot. I got hooked on the collaborations that you get to have with playing lots of different music with lots of different people, just endlessly learning new licks, learning new tunes, hearing new sounds, getting involved with different scenes. I feel like music is kind of like your key. It's my key for entry into many different worlds. And I feel like I have the privilege of stepping in and out of various pools of music making and art and dance and love and food and everything. It's a great way to experience the world, and it's pretty much all I really know.
Yeah, that's true. I was not born to be a scientist or mathematician. I was born to be a writer and a musician, and I know how that feels. You know instinctively when you're young what you want to do. So what we're going to be listening to first is Route 77, which I love that song. I mean, love all your songs, actually, because I was binge listening to your music. So tell me about Route 77. You were traveling somewhere that you were inspired to write this song?
You got it. That's why it was called Route 77. I was in Finland with my band. I had a 5-piece Western swing band called the Froggy Mountain Boys. We were based in Berlin. I lived in Berlin for a few years, Berlin, Germany. And those guys came from France and from Germany, and there was another American in the band. And the first time that name came about, it was really funny. I was playing with the two French guys just as a trio. We had a pickup gig. We were just playing at some restaurant. Somebody came by and said, what are you guys called? And, you know, we said, well, we don't really have a band name. We're just some friends. We just have this gig. But I was playing the banjo, and these guys are French, so I said, we're the Froggy Mountain Boys, which is a joke that only I could really understand because the French guys didn't know about bluegrass, really. You know, they didn't know about Earl Scruggs and the Froggy Mountain Boys. So I thought it was really funny. Nobody else really seemed to care. But then about a year later, we had this jam session with those two guys and myself and the German guy and the other American guy, and it was just magic. And we said, guys, we have to start a band. This is so good. And they said, Aaron, you have to be the band leader. We're going to do the Western swing music that you love so much, and we're going to call ourselves the Froggy Mountain Boys. And they said, no way. No, that's a joke band name. And the guy said, too late. I already booked this a gig.
Oh, my gosh. That's great. Well, it's a catchy name, actually.
We made an album. The album is called Route 77, but the recording that you have is... So that Froggy Mountain Boys recording is available on Bandcamp.
Okay.
And I'm really proud of it, but... The recording that I sent you was from the Corn Potato String Band. When we started the Corn Potato String Band, we rearranged that song for two banjos.
Mm-hmm.
So the original recording with Froggy Mountain Boys was me on banjo. There was a clarinet player, there was a fiddle player, a guitar player, and a bass player. And it's really hot. The whole album is, I'm very proud of it. But we're no longer playing together since I'm back in the U.S. You know, one of the guys moved back to France, and everyone's kind of split up. But I am still playing with the Corn Potato String Band.
Another very catchy title to a band, yeah? All right, so let's listen to Route 77. To hear the rest of this show, download our new KB Cabaret app. There you will be able to hear all of our new shows, our archive shows, and find the multitude of recipes that our chef extraordinaire has created just for you. You will find our app on Google Play, iTunes, Amazon, or Burberry. Just search for KB Cabaret. That's KBKABARET. We love having you stop by, and thank you for listening to KB Cabaret.